Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. We're going to, God willing, look at this letter in the days to come. Philippians chapter 1, this is God's word. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. Because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will overflow on account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This letter was written while Paul was in prison, almost certainly while he was in prison in Rome, under house arrest, one of the imprisonments that he had in Rome. The second one would be very different. The second one is the one that we referenced when we were looking at 2 Timothy. But in this letter, Paul is under house arrest, and he's able to preach the gospel to people who come to see him there in the home where he was staying in Rome. And so, God was blessing, even in the midst of his being a prisoner. But he writes with Timothy to all the saints in Christ Jesus in Philippi, or at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Notice he's addressing the overseers and deacons, those who are the leaders in the church. But before he mentions them, he says he's writing to the saints in Christ Jesus. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the Christians. Well, I don't want to, act like I'm holier than thou or something. Well, I don't want to act, but I want to be holy. Why? Because God says that's what a Christian is called to. He refers to us, God refers to us as saints. Well, so what is a saint? It's someone whose life has been redeemed by God and set apart for his purposes. That's all Christians. If you are genuinely a Christian, you're a saint. Now, why doesn't the devil want you to know it? Because if you really begin to believe what God says about what he has done, not just for you, but is doing in you, you might start to live like a saint. If you are a born-again Christian, you're not only human. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And because of what he has done for you and what he's doing in you, you need to live a life that is holy, set apart. It's not your body to do with as you will. It's not your time. It's not your talent. It's all his. When we come to Christ, we aren't just forgiven. We are made new. And Paul is writing to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As we've said before, that's not just a friendly greeting. That's a message from God. God is speaking grace to us. How desperately we need that. If God said to us, you're going to get what you've earned, I would cringe. Because I've blown it numerous times. But he doesn't say that. He says grace to you. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul writes and he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. He's writing to people who have been supporting him, who have been faithful, and he's able to say, every time I think of you, I rejoice. I've got, as you might imagine, a rather lengthy prayer list. And some of the people on that prayer list, I'm praying God will bring to repentance. But there are a bunch of people on that prayer list that every time I come to their name, I just rejoice. I'm so grateful for the very obvious work of God in their lives. And Paul says, I'm not just grateful for what you have done and what you are doing, but he says, I'm grateful for your future that is guaranteed by God, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He doesn't say, and I'm counting on you to get it across the finish line. He says, I'm counting on God to get you across the finish line. God's going to carry you. He's going to continue that work that he's begun until it's complete on the day of Christ Jesus. When is it going to be complete? On the day of Christ Jesus. Okay? Some of us think, you know, well, Pastor Wood, you're getting old. Don't you think you pretty much ought to be fully sanctified, you know, I mean, totally pure and never make a mistake anymore? I'd like that. But you know when I'm going to be totally done? When I see him face to face. He's going to carry the work on until its completion, the day of Christ Jesus, whether that's when Jesus comes back or whether it's when I go to be with him. Either way, at that point, the portrait is complete. Until then, the artist continues to work.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. He says, I love you. And he says it because he means it. And he wants these people to know that they are loved. Folks, we are supposed to live a life of love. Not just saying the words, but genuinely loving others. The love of God is so tremendous that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us, to take the punishment we deserve. And he says, now, I want you to love one another. I want you to live a life of love. So, he says, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, verse 9, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. His prayer for them is that their love would abound more and more, not mindlessly, not in ignorance, but that their love would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. In other words, it becomes an increasingly wise love. And one of the reasons why this is important for us all to understand is because sometimes people genuinely love, but not wisely. Because we absolutely loved our children when they were growing up, we let them eat whatever they wanted. Do you think? Of course not. Why didn't we give them whatever they asked for? Because we loved them. Why doesn't God give us whatever we ask for? Because he loves us. And if you're going to love someone, you need to love them wisely. And therefore, if you love them and they are pursuing a lifestyle that is evil, greed, adultery, whatever it may be, if they're running down that road that God's word makes it clear is the road to destruction, and you say, oh, that's nice. These are your three wives? Wow, You know, a lot of us just have one, but you got three. I mean, who am I to judge? You're nobody to judge, but if you love that person, you might want to warn them that that's not okay. It's not okay. Well, who are you to judge? I'm not. I was just referencing something that God, your creator, said. Understand? So, he's praying that their love will abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so they'll be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That's a good prayer to pray for somebody. I would be grateful if as many of you as possible would pray that prayer for me. I want that in my life. God's not finished with me yet. So pray that God will cause me to have increasing love that increases in knowledge and depth of insight so that I will be able to discern what is best and that I may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. It's not to the glory and praise of us. It's to His praise, to His glory. And by the way, you can pray that for yourself. Wouldn't that be a good thing to pray? So pray it. Now, I want you to know, he says, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Paul's in prison. How's that a good thing? He says, oh, because the gospel is advancing as a result of my imprisonment. That's a good thing. Do you know how this church in Philippi got started? Paul led some folks to Christ. And then as he was continuing to go around preaching the gospel, there was a slave girl who was a demoniac who started following them around. This is Acts chapter 16. This slave girl is following them around for days, yelling, "These men are the servants of the Most High God and are bringing you the way of salvation. These men are the servants of the Most High God and are bringing you the way of salvation. These men are the servants of the Most High God and are bringing you the way of salvation." That's got good lyrics. That song was not from God. It was demon-inspired. That slave girl was a fortune-telling demoniac. And Paul, after 3 days, turned and cast the demon out of her. And when that happened, she quit yelling, and she could no longer tell fortunes. Because that ability to know things that humanly you wouldn't know was not from God, it was the enemy. Now she'd lost her ability to tell fortunes, and as a result, her owners, who had made a lot of money off her fortune telling, falsely accused Paul and Silas. They ended up being arrested, beaten, and imprisoned in a jail in Philippi. And so they are there in the innermost cell in the middle of the night, their backs laid open with wounds, their wrists and ankles bound, and they're in the innermost cell, which is the smelliest, darkest place in the dungeon. And around midnight, they're singing. What are they singing? Praises to God. Singing praises to God. Why would you praise the Lord in prison when you're hurting and you've been unfairly treated? It was a total violation of their civil rights. Paul was a Roman citizen. You couldn't punish him and imprison him like that without a trial. Totally, totally illegal what had happened to him. So when you're in a horrible situation, totally in darkness, what do you do? Praise the Lord. The letter of the Philippians exhorts us over and over again, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. And by the way, this is known as the Epistle of Joy because I think it's 16 times in this book Paul talks about joy. He's in prison in Rome. You understand? That's not fair. He's been falsely accused. He hasn't broken the law. Why is he in prison? Because he says, this is where God wants me in order to spread the gospel. If you belong to Jesus Christ, and you're seeking to walk in obedience, and you end up in a highly undesirable situation, don't say, God, get me out of here. Say, God, what do you want me to do while I'm here? What is your purpose? Because God has a purpose. And Paul understood it to be the advancement of the gospel. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear through the whole palace guard and everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. In other words, when they saw what happened to Paul and they saw how he responded to that, they didn't say, well, man, I don't think we ought to talk about Jesus in public because we don't want to end up like Paul. They were like, hey, I guess prison isn't something you have to be afraid of. Let's go ahead and preach the word. Most of them have been encouraged to preach the word, speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry. He says there are some people who are doing their ministry for evil motives. But you know what? If people are learning to look to Jesus, if it's creating interest in him, then just praise the Lord that Christ is being preached. I'm just glad. You know what? That's still happening today. And some of us are tempted to focus on the bad things that those preachers say and do. And then somebody comes along and tells us how they came to faith in Christ through that guy's ministry. And it's not really helpful to say, I'm not sure you're really saved. Because the gospel's true even if the guy who's preaching it is a liar. Well, what about the demoniac? Well, what she was saying was true. It's just that she was motivated by evil spirits. Well, doesn't that create confusion sometimes? Yes, and sometimes God will tell you, cast that thing out of her. But you need to do what God says, not worry about what everybody else is doing. Because the fact of the matter is, I've known a bunch of people over the years who got saved under the ministry of somebody who I don't expect to see in heaven. Is that clear? So, he says, because Christ is preached, I rejoice. Then he says, yes, and I'll continue to rejoice. Well, he's in prison, and he's rejoicing. I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Holy Spirit, or by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that in no way I'll be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Always rejoicing, no reason to fear. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He says, I'm really torn. It'd be better to be in heaven, but I think it's better for you if I'm here, so I'll probably be here a while longer. But I want you to know, I'm not afraid to die. One of these days, if you hear that I'm dead, say, well, bless his heart. It must be wonderful. Okay? I mean, that's what's happening. Paul is rejoicing because he knows what's coming. Heaven is our destination.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood, www.pastorwood.org.